This is CliffCentral.com.
Oh, yeah. Bring it on.
Wow, okay.
A bit of a cough, special.
Bring the cough on?
Special cough for a Monday.
Necessary.
All right, everybody. Yeah, let's get this morning off to a good start, shall we? If you've just woken up, you've just started your day. Shekinah's coming in. She's so bubbly and fun. I love her. Love her music, too.
Mm.
She good.
She good.
No, she really is. She good. So let me give you a bit of a background, because you may not immediately recall until you hear her voice. Shekinah is a well-known hip-hop pop vocalist, songwriter from Durban. She's got a couple of number one hit singles, like Back to the Beach with Kyle Deutsch, and she also did Let You Know with Sketchy Bongo, but she's got plenty of others. Her latest single called Suited, we're going to play for you just now. And I remember her because she entered South African Idol. She made it to the top 32 in the 7th season, top 6 in the 8th season. But like all the really great artists post-Idols, she didn't win it. Isn't that funny?
She just went, oh.
Chest pains, us
Shem, is that what you wanted to say, Sia? What's going on here?
Yeah, that was just going towards chest pains.
But I've often said that winning a show like that is the kiss of death for an artist, because it means you are beholden. That's what you're always going to be known for. And she's gone on, she's had this amazing career because she didn't win.
Yeah, that's true, because we never remember what happens to the winners after they win.
No, people always
but
ask.
All the contestants who didn't, you know, you look at people like Amanda Black, and then it's all the guys who didn't win at the end that you go on to see
and they,
having an impact in the industry.
They have a successful career afterwards. Look at her sitting here now. Yes, baby, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? I missed you, Gareth.
Why? I mean, we could see each other every now and then.
Not enough.
I see a lot of you doing your thing, and it's good.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Are you happy?
I'm very happy.
How's 2017 going for you?
2017 is busy. It's basically my first adult year.
Yes, studying. Exactly.
Yeah.
This is your first time adulting. How's it going?
Oh, not great. It's not great. It's daunting. I had to get insurance and medical aid. And
worry about day-to-day boring crap when you live at home, it's easy, right?
I want to die, but it's okay, man. I'm enjoying it, and I'm enjoying being an adult. I'm enjoying making music and being my own boss. It's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, you look like you're having fun.
I am.
So this new song, which we'll play just now, Suited, tell me about that, because I haven't heard it yet.
Okay, so Suited.
Set it up.
Yeah, Suited is off it's off my album, only dropping an album this year.
Mm-hmm.
I almost told you the title, but I'm not doing that. Suited is basically the first song that I released. It's a love song. It's pretty similar to most of them, but it kind of, for me, it's a bit of a follow-on from Let You Know. It's kind of a closing chapter to, I don't know, maybe the story and Let You Know, and then Suited, everything is pretty beautiful and perfect, you know. But it's also, it's one of the most lighthearted songs on the project, so
yeah.
I kind of wanted to come in with something very exciting and happy.
I love your voice. It sounds very different to anyone else. You've got a very unique sound to you. Did you always know that?
No. No, not at all, honestly.
I think you must have been aware of the fact at some point that not only you could sing, but that your voice was distinct.
Gareth.
Come on.
I guess I knew I could sing, and I knew that a lot of people couldn't. Honestly, that's what I did know. But what I also started to realize as I grew up is that I couldn't sing as high as all the other females, or you know what I mean? I couldn't. So I realized that there was certain things that my voice could do and couldn't do. And then from there on, I guess that's why I had to songwrite for myself and find that passion, because I couldn't sing a Whitney Houston cover and I couldn't sing a Beyonce song.
I even remember in the show that was something that you,
right? Yeah. I struggled with that on Idols a lot. It had to take all the keys down for me and stuff.
I want
to
play, let me just remind everybody, cause this song was such a hit. I mean, again, your voice is what makes it. But just let everybody have a quick reminder. This hasn't even been around that long. What's a year or two old?
Yeah. I'm just trying to let you know.
Now, how does this work? Did you were you approached by Sketchy Bongo, or did you approach them? Mm-hmm. You worked together on the song. How does it happen?
Yeah, so basically for Back to the Beach, Kyle called me. I went home from. I was in Joburg. I've been in Joburg since after Idols. You know, I always had the dream of coming here. And yeah. So I came
also,
here.
Also, you get more done here.
Yeah. Durban. Hmm.
All right, so this is the song you're talking about.
Yeah. So I came home and I wrote this song with Kyle. He said that he has a producer friend that I must meet. And I went there and he had all these great, like beats that he was playing me, and then he played me this beat, and then nobody liked it and they skipped it, but I knew that it was four songs back, and I was like, just go four songs back. And then I had the idea already. I sang.
Remember the last time we had Kyle in here? Mm-hmm. I think he'd been smoking a lot of weed.
Dutch man.
Let me tell you,
that's hilarious.
But this song, Sia loves this because you three are all from Durban. You, Kyle, and Sia.
Mm. I actually went to the same high school Kyle went to.
Really?
Yeah.
I love this, though. It's got a Durban feel to it.
Yeah, it's just instantly, it makes you feel good. And you want it to be like December.
Pack your bags now.
Summer weather.
Now, Baba.
You and your friends together. That's what that's what the song feels like.
So you two got together. Okay, so start the story again.
Yeah.
You and Kyle get into a studio together.
Me and
he
Kyle,
plays you some beats.
Yeah, Sketchy plays a few beats, and then he played this one. He played this one, and I was like, and then they went past it, and we're looking for other things, and I was like, no, you need to go back four beats, like four songs, I promise you. Then they go back four songs, and then I was like, no, okay, let me go, like, have something. And obviously at the time when you have never had any music on radio, and you've never, you know, written anything, or you're full with ideas. Like, it's so weird, you know.
So you just start yeah. singing over the track, and then that's where the song comes from.
Yeah, just like that. I sang, Sketchy will correct me, but I think I sang the whole hook the first time.
That's amazing. I mean, I for know. That to happen, you to call yourself a songwriter, you have to be able to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
And do you get writing credits on that song?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
because yes,
that's where the money is,
that's
too.
That's definitely, you know? Yeah.
It's hard to make money off of music. Even if you're a writer these
yeah.
days. I mean, if you'd done that in 1983, you'd be a millionaire.
Yeah. It's. I don't know. I also thought that I would make more money off of this song, but I mean, it's made us a lot of money. Like, sure. Don't get me wrong.
No, but you do it performing.
But yeah,
know,
but it's a whole lot of things that I have to do versus giving a good song and then getting a check that's like, you know what, this is for the song. Like, this is for that great song.
So I'm amazed. So they start playing this beat and you just go, da, 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 da.
Yeah, literally.
You, that's where you go.
Yeah, and then you sit down once you have that skeleton, and you listen to like what you're saying, and then from there, Kyle's really good, guys. He's really good at. He's really good at songwriting.
You can be very good at. I mean, the Beatles took huge amounts of acid when they did "Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds." The song's called LSD, for God's sake.
He's really good, man. He came through with like. With all the things that I suck at, like filling in, I'm just so I feel so much. So I got the melody and I've got like, it's got to be about the beach and we have to take it back to the beach.
Uh-huh.
And then he comes in with all the like, the nice like filling in words. Like, you know, I remember I was like, rolling with my bae. And then he's like, rolling it that way. And I was like, ah, yeah, you know, it's
nice.
Very simple, but it's nice when you have someone there to join the dots quickly instead of sitting by yourself. And then
it must be much harder to write on your own.
Yeah.
Because then you don't have someone to. It's like a brainstorm session.
Yeah.
You come up with better ideas together. Right?
Yeah, definitely.
So you found out that you obviously had a good writing companion, and you could write songs together with Kyle.
Mm.
And then Sketchy Bongo, that whole thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty exciting too.
Yeah.
Collaboration is really the way
collaboration
forward.
Collaboration is life. Yeah.
Everybody. I mean, if you listen to this new Calvin Harris album, he's basically isn't he just telling everybody else? Like, okay, you want to see collaboration? Let me show you.
That album.
It's amazing,
the
right?
Most amazing album. And I only started listening to it a week ago, so that's all we're listening to now. I know.
It's terrific.
I know. And I love the combination of the artists that he's paired together. And I love how everybody's kind of on the same vibe, but but bringing themselves, you know, to the project. Dope project.
Yeah. And they're all superstars.
Yeah, they're all the best.
Only he could have made this happen, right?
He's a legend.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've been saying that since I was like in grade 11. Calvin Harris, if I could ever get a feature, it's always been with him. Right. Yeah.
So what about the new song? Because that's just you.
That's just me. I got the beat via email from actually someone that also, I don't know, also did Idols. He sent me the beat. He was working with a producer kid in PE. And I get the little beat. And the same thing with that, except I wasn't in the studio. I was at home. Mm-hmm. And then I just sang it on my phone, exactly what I felt. And then I sent it to him and I was like, this is what I feel. And then he's like, Kanye, properly, you know, it sounds okay. And then I kind of always had that beat. And then eventually I had a school project. I mean, I graduated from AFTA, LP, live performance. Mm-hmm. So basically you have to hand in an album at the end of the year. So I've already done the process of making an album for school. So you hand
So you actually, while you're having a really successful actual career, you're also
doing your education. LP degree, yeah.
Wow.
It was so crazy. Yo, I was grumpy. But it's cool. We had to hand in 30 songs, and obviously then I'm looking for things to put on the thing. I can't put Back to the Beach because they'll be like, you didn't write this for school. So I took Suited. And I handed that little piece in that I wrote. And then I ended up extending the song for the show. And then I realized, I was like, okay, well, let me finish the song. And I finished the song. And Suited was really nice and really pretty. But it was lacking like a bit of just a bit of energy. So from there, after we had given our all, me and my band, I kind of worked closely with my band.
Mm-hmm.
I took it to Maporisa. And I was like, this song needs a bit more energy. And then he's so creative. Like, that's what I mean by collaboration. Like, you can never solely take responsibility for the success of a song. Nobody can, you know, because this guy sent me a great instrumental.
I'm amazed by this because it's something I think a lot of people would struggle with. When you're a creative person, you kind of regard a song like this as your child.
Mm, yeah.
Please. And you then have to send your child for extra lessons with Maborisa, mm-hmm. for example.
It's horrible.
And you don't know whether it'll come back and it'll be what you need, but
yeah,
you have to trust
to let go.
The process. So I just want to listen to this because I haven't heard it yet either.
Please do.
And we'll all give our opinion, all right?
Oh,
this is your first your critical audience. Let's take a listen. I want to play a lot of the song, and I just want to play 5 seconds.
There's a little break that I can't find the time or place. I don't ever want to go too far away. Don't we play as when it was? You take the key to my life. I know we're just a little too young, yeah. And having just a little too much fun, ay, but what a life that we got. What a life that we got. When it just don't stop, we right into a special spot.
All right. Crunch time.
Oh, goodness.
I love it.
Yay,
yeah, it's got a vibe. You've got a, like an energy you put into this music.
Yay!
So
yay.
I can't imagine what Maporisa added in there, but it sounds like there's a lot of dynamism in there,
yeah,
right?
Definitely.
So it's up and down and it's got depth and it's nice.
Thank you. I'm glad you like it.
But it definitely, you can hear it's you. I mean,
there's a very signature sound to you.
Oh, man, that makes me happy. That's
does anyone not like it? Amanda?
Yes, there's 11
do you
dislikes
not like it?
On YouTube.
who are those people? We shall hunt them.
Okay, so it's not Amanda. Is it Juicier? No,
all those 11.
There's
we shall
11 dislikes on YouTube.
Man hunt for those 11.
All right, well, I mean,
shout out, guys.
Those 11 people, that's so tiny. How many likes?
There's about 66,000.
Oh, well.
Okay, then.
Well, screw those 11.
66,000, okay.
Now, is that
kind
something...
Kind of just like to say a big F you to those
11. Yes.
Yeah.
Bah.
Is that something that drives you insane, is being obsessed over the numbers once your video is uploaded?
Yes, I've been looking at I woke up at 4 a.m., I looked at the numbers. I woke up at 7 o'clock, I looked at the numbers. When I got here, I looked at
wow.
But it means more to me than likes on Instagrams, you know. So I can take another female artist from our country who gets about 8,000 likes on her photos, and then I'll get like 500, you know, whatever, 500 to 1,000 mm-hmm. likes on Instagram. But then I look on YouTube and she's got 19 views, and then I upload like just an acoustic and I have 80K views. So
okay,
that's what's more important.
You know, this can be unhealthy.
I know.
Because if you live by the numbers, you die by the numbers.
I know.
But the numbers are important.
Yeah,
aren't
but,
they?
But you have to trust your gut too in music, because sometimes something becomes a hit after you've put it away.
Exactly.
And you don't know, and there might be something in the album when it comes out that is more popular than this.
Yeah. Definitely.
And you say, oh well, this should be the first single, but you don't know.
Yeah.
You can never tell. I remember Jimmy Iovine, who's the guy who's, you know, he and Dr. Dre.
Yep.
Made beats.
Yeah, but they're also the most amazing producers in music. Everything that you know about music, this guy knows more. Mm-hmm. Everything. And he said he can't predict what will be a hit and what won't.
Preach.
See? So you don't know. Preach. And who are these people who you would compare yourself to? I mean, when you talk about other artists, who do you consider to be your peers? Who are the people you are in friendly competition with?
Okay, honestly, I don't know. I can't really think of it. But I really can't, Gareth, honestly. But, okay, but I just, when I...
Who do you look up to then? Who are the people in the industry who you think are people who you could learn from, or who you like to be associated with? If you were at an awards show, you'd want to be sitting next to them. Who are those people?
Okay, I enjoy being associated with Jay something, honestly.
Yeah, he's a real pro.
He's
a
real
pro.
So
successful.
And he's successful.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I want to be successful. I don't need to associate with these people, honestly. I don't need to associate with anyone, but when it comes to who I look up to AKA and Casper Nyovest. I really look up to MT also, even though, you know, whatever, any drama. For me, I look up to the males because they're so dominant, and I just feel like when I listen to their work, I don't think that my work is any less than, or, you know, or anything. So I know that when I'm, every time I'm climbing every year, I know that I'm looking to them.
And you also like to collaborate with the males. You seem to be collaborating with the guys a lot more than the girls.
Within the girls, yeah, definitely, definitely. The girls, it's like, it's usually two female vocals on a track, usually doesn't make sense. But on my album, I have only female collaborations, three.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. With who?
I have Rouge. Yeah. I have a girl I went to school with from Kenya, Ome. She does some chanting. And then I have Mauritian from Jamali.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. So you are collaborating with girls there.
Yeah, I love female vocals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've got a great voice. Now, you've got an interesting story too. I remember when we met you on Idols, it was interesting to us because actually you were abandoned at birth. I mean, what a mistake that was. Whoever that is kicking themselves in the ass now, going, I could have had that talented daughter. Are you kidding me?
I know, I'm such a good daughter.
I know, you would have been amazing.
Man, give me a chance.
Shit happens. But you did grow up with an amazing family who gave you lots of love.
Yeah, my family.
The O'Donnells, right?
The Donnells, yeah. The Donnells, yes.
And obviously, you know, this proves to me, I've always said that the most saintly, wonderful people on earth are the ones who will adopt children and raise them with love.
Yeah.
Because there's no ego in that.
Nope.
Right?
It's a difficult task. And
Amanda's nodding her head because she knows all about that too.
Yeah, no, it's such a big responsibility to have somebody else's child. And if you can do that, I believe, like, you're amazing.
Yeah. It's the most love that there is, because this is not even, you know, biologically your kid, but you raise it with the same amount of love as you would if it were. And to do that, you also have to make sacrifices, and there are complications. I mean, let's just consider, for example, the fact that if a white family raises a black child, there are always going to be questions for that child around who they are, where they fit in. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you ever deal with that as a kid?
Yeah, constantly. But I had so much love at home, and this is like what I always try and explain to people. Like, the love that I've experienced is unreal. It's organic. It's natural. It's the reason why I love everybody. Like, before I know anyone, and leaving home, I was always so charged with that love and respect that whenever I was disrespected for not speaking isiZulu or not having a good weave or not knowing what to do with my hair because my parents are white and I haven't grown up in a black family, so I don't put pondos before I sleep. It bothered me and I got upset, but then I quickly moved on, you know. And by the time I was in grade 10, or grade 11. I had done idols, and then everybody wanted to be my friend. Mm. So it was okay. It was only high school, because in primary school, nobody is that horrible, or, you know. But high school, grade 8, 9, and 10 was a bit...
And I mean, you see kids at primary school, and they all just play. They all just want to play. They don't give a shit about that stuff.
Primary school is super chilled. I mean, maybe a few racist kids that only allowed to play with peach children, or a few black kids that wouldn't play with me because I didn't speak isiZulu. But other than that, I didn't care.
Yeah.
I had a white sister who was a bully in the school. I had a...
Yeah, that's always a
bonus. You know
bonus.
What I mean? She was in grade 6. She was a bully. Nobody was going to say anything. Like, my sister, she's crazy. My brother was there. So, and my little brother was there. So I had two white siblings and a little black sibling that was in preschool. So everybody knew the Darnells, you know. We never had any issue. I think the first time I, you know, experienced racism and started paying attention to this was last year. Like, last year when I started paying my own bills and having to get my own apartment, that's when I was exposed to a whole lot of things that I wish I didn't have to be exposed to.
Like?
Well, just how the world really is, you know, how, you know, I would always be, when I first moved to Joburg, I was around black people that were very, very, very black conscious. Mm. And I wasn't very black conscious, and I didn't understand why you hate white people, because I love my white family. Yeah. So for me, I could never utter those words like, oh, you know, white people. I could never get to that point. And so many people in Joburg are like that. And then I'd be around white people that were very like, oh, but you know, you're cool because you're not like that. You know, you're not like that. So I kind of was exposed to those two worlds, and I didn't understand it. And then my eyes were open, and I got some education, and I came to my own opinion, and, you know, I finally understood where I was and where, you know, what.
What is your opinion? I mean, having had this extraordinary journey, because it's different.
I don't want to say my opinion.
No, you can.
I personally feel like my white family are the nicest white people I've met.
And the rest are horrible.
The rest are tricky. Not horrible. They're just tricky. They're not horrible. They're not horrible. They're just tricky, Gareth. They're just tricky. So for me, I constantly wanna pull out photos of like my white family when I'm getting disrespected and be like, this is my dad. This is my brother. This is my niece. She's a little white baby.
Yeah.
And then now I don't post photos of my niece, because then I know how black audiences are. And I'm like, okay, I have a little white niece now. I'm obsessed with a white baby.
Yeah.
So
and everybody's
tricky.
Everybody's got an opinion on your life.
Exactly.
Huh? Welcome to being famous.
Oh!
Welcome. It would have been so much easier if you hadn't decided to become famous and be talented.
Yeah, I know. Probably.
You would have been so happy.
But it's okay. It's okay, because I know how I want to raise my children, and I know, you know, and I have good examples of how humanity is supposed to really be. And that's something that I know is my duty as Shekinah, the artist and whatever, is to bring some sort of change. That,
so you, you eventually want to have kids?
Yeah, like tomorrow, Gareth.
Really?
Oh. Oh.
Very maternal, huh?
I'm very maternal, guys. I think, I don't know, it's
but
deep.
But you're too young now.
I know. But babies are beautiful.
Yeah, but use other people's babies for sustenance right now. You know?
But after adult life and
go to the baby petting
insurance,
zoo for now.
I don't think a baby could come into my life at all.
And relationship-wise, because before you have a baby, you have to have a man to have it with.
Yeah.
So
I know.
Is there someone or is there no one?
There's someone. I've been dating my boyfriend since college. So, yeah.
Look at that. Long term, huh?
We're going steady.
How many
for
years?
Now. It's 2 years now.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
And he understands the demands of your job?
He does. He's very helpful. Yeah, he's really cool.
Is he the kind of guy who gets music, or is he just let you do your thing and he doesn't get involved?
No, he loves music. He likes to sing as well. He likes to make music as well. So.
But he's not inserting himself into your work life?
Uh-uh.
Because then you'd kick his ass out.
Oh, goodness.
Right? You don't need that.
I don't need that. I don't need that from friends around me. I don't need people hanging around me to be musicians or to be famous or whatever.
Yeah, you don't want a crew coming backstage with you every time.
No, not at all. No.
You're there to do the work?
And go home.
Right.
I don't stay at the after party. I've really dope ugly.
What did you do this weekend?
This weekend I had a show. I had a show on Saturday. Friday, what did I do? Friday I had another show and an interview.
So you're working nonstop.
I am. I'm a
what do you do for fun?
For fun, I watch cartoons.
Cartoons?
Yeah.
Like I know. What?
I'm so boring, Garrett.
No. What kind of cartoon?
Everything. Literally everything. I've watched everything. Archer, American Dad, Rick and Morty.
Oh, but you're watching
Adventure
the good
Time.
Stuff.
Yeah,
I'm obsessed with watching the good
case,
stuff.
In that case, Ben watches the same shows that
all
you
of those,
do.
Those
oh,
three. Yeah.
Gosh,
yeah.
Obsessed. Brickle, have you seen Brickleberry? Yeah. Good grief, that's my life. I've watched
all the best shows.
Brickleberry.
On repeat.
On repeat. And it never gets
what's
old.
That? Who's that big butch woman in Brickleberry?
Connie. Malloy.
I'm obsessed. Yo,
oh, my gosh.
I love that show. Yeah. That's a good show.
Play the clip, Gareth.
Yeah.
Which one?
What is wrong with...
Connie.
What's his name? He's
Connie's
kid?
Vagina or something.
Yeah, Connie's camel toes. Oh, my God!
What is this show?
That's the sound of Connie's vagina.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I like this. No, this is not boring. That's the foundation of an interesting character right there. If those are the because those shows are all messed up.
Yeah.
Messed up.
Those are not kids shows by any means. Nope. Rick and Morty, what a disgraceful cartoon.
Disgraceful.
It really is.
Rick and Morty is confusing. I don't really enjoy that one a lot, but I sit through it and I'm like, what is his grandpa?
His grandpa is insane. And the way he keeps burping.
Oh, my
right?
God.
It's just horrible.
The burping freaks me out.
Yeah.
All right. So we've now figured out what you do in your spare time.
Yeah.
What are for you the major goals career-wise going forward? Because you've got these – you've started on such a high.
Mm.
And it's hard because people expect, first of all, that you must keep that up forever.
Yeah.
And you probably expect to keep that up forever. And there might be moments in your career, like a month or two here or there, where those things don't happen.
Yeah.
And then people go – so what's happened? Is she kind of fading away? Do you feel like intense pressure?
I do, definitely. I mean, honestly speaking, this has been my quietest month ever. I'm usually booming, like, but this month, I think, because I've been so under the radar finishing this album, which is really amazing and really, really a game changer, I think, for female pop and R&B music. So I've been very quiet because I've been recording, but that automatically slows down your career, which is crazy because it's like...
But it happens to all singers.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's been an interesting month for me. I'm not used to this kind of, like, I don't know, how can I explain it? Like, I'm not used to fighting for people's attention. I'm not saying that I'm fighting, but now I'm planning versus just releasing songs and letting them do what they want and going to school and then people telling me the stats and, you know.
So in other words, you are now in charge of the strategy.
Yeah, now I'm in charge of the strategy. I'm in charge of everything. I give the go ahead. I say, yes, Sony, you know, record labels are record labels. You know, they come in with their input, but at the end of the day, when you're licensed and they just do your distribution, you make all the decisions.
Well, that's a better place to be than artists in the past used to be because the record company would call all the shots.
Yeah, that's insane.
Right? And they don't do that anymore.
They don't.
It's nice to have them on your side.
Yeah.
But they're not in charge.
They're not in charge, yeah. So it's difficult and automatically, like, it's just been a quiet month because I've been pushing and I've been working and I'm ready to. But now that the video's out and it's doing very well and it's trending, things get busy and now my inbox is full with PR.
Are those eyelashes real?
No, they're not. Gareth, I'm a squirrel. Bye.
Wow. Those are some eyelashes.
I get them done every 2 weeks. You see, my life has changed. Like,
yes, girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm always in makeup. This is the morning, so... You know, I just came as I am, but...
Do you feel pressure, like, when you're in the public eye that you have to... Every time you leave your house, you can't go out in, like, track pants and a...
I do, and it's in my area. But I think whenever I'm stepping
have
out...
Have you ever gone out and you've been dressed like a slob and then someone wanted a picture?
Always.
Yeah.
And you always say happens to me when I'm, like, a slob.
And you say, yes, sure, let's have a picture. And
yeah,
you know it's going to go on Instagram.
And then I regret the photos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to make an effort, right?
Always. And I mean, I learned that from idols. I remember that was everybody's biggest pet peeve about me is I was just too casual. And then I went to college and the vocal coach on idols was my lecturer for the next 3 years. So she was going on about, you know, appearance. And then I realized it was actually an aspect of of my job
yeah.
was to make sure that I always look great. And then I, you know, as soon as I adapted these things, things started getting better. So now it's difficult having to always do my lashes, mm-hmm. having to always do my nails. My nails have been off for a while now, but I know that I can't do this weekend show without nails.
What's the most irritating part of this whole regimen? Is it the makeup? Time. Is it the, oh, it's time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't really care much about, you know, being the most glamorous person. I never want to be the prettiest person in the room. So, yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Well, in this room, it's you and my buddy. So
bye, y'all.
So one of you two is going to win.
Shame, Sia's not in there.
Oh.
Excuse me. Well, if you know, you want to know about it, you want to know about a beauty regimen, just ask Sia how many minutes he spends. He spends on his hair and his moisturizer.
That's a lot.
We have to moisturize. We have to exfoliate. We have to condition.
All right, I take it back. You girls, you lose.
Yeah, basically, just like that.
It's all down to Sia.
I don't exfoliate.
Yes.
Do you miss Durban? No?
Always. I miss Durban. Oh, my gosh, so much.
What did you do there? What made Durban so fun? Was it the friends?
Turn up, Gareth.
Yeah.
Really?
Turn up. That's all I did. I had to leave Durban, yeah.
Was it becoming crazy? Partying all the time?
Yeah. There's nothing else to do. I mean, really, there's not like...
yeah,
there isn't. But yeah, Durban, you know
people...
what I mean?
No, hold on. Let's give some credit because... I know a lot of people think Cape Town's the coolest place in South Africa.
It's not.
And a lot of people think Joburg is the coolest place in South Africa. And it's not either. Durban has got some very, very cool people in it. And they know how to party. Mm-hmm. And they've got a very nice attitude to life. Mm-hmm. It seems to me there's a lot more happiness on the east coast of South Africa.
This is exactly what AKA said to me.
Really?
That's what she's saying. Durban is the place for South Africa, yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
It's our Miami.
Yeah, it is. It's dope. But in terms of like... competition, you have no competition, no. You have no drive, you have no, there's no Gareth Cliff in Durban.
And then you can't make huge money there,
nope.
Right? So you have to move
You'll
to Joburg.
Be in theatre or, you know what I mean, so.
Well, let's talk about theatre because you've done some of that.
I love theatre.
Yeah. And you've done these musicals and that is a different experience completely.
All together, yeah. That's every day, call time. You have to be there. You have to warm up. You have to rehearse with a whole lot of people. You sing in a cast. You might not always get a solo. That's different versus you being the front line.
Do you like it?
I love theatre. Absolutely love theatre, yeah.
What was it like doing Hairspray?
Hairspray was amazing. It was really cool. Blessing was the lead. But he couldn't sing the great song because it was a very female. So I got to sing that song, you know. And for me, I guess that was the main aspect of me. And I didn't realize that I was coming into becoming a singer more than an actress and more than a performer. I realized that I'm actually just good at singing because they never gave me any acting roles. They just kind of threw me on to sing and then they were like, okay,
Do you think that they put you on and did you get a feeling that they'd put you on just because you were very famous at that time, very current, you know, idols had happened, so you were a name. And then you thought, I'm almost like a gimmick.
Yeah, I think maybe the second time I did it, I did theater, I realized, okay, I just got this role because I'm Shekinah. And I didn't really execute the role as well as I should have. And everybody knew that because all the directors were like, you need to work harder, you know? And that's when I realized I only got it because I'm Shekinah and it's okay.
Yeah, that was all right.
Yeah, it was all right. It was fun being a lead.
And theater people can be bitchy as
hell.
Oh,
too, right? Wow. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. People are learning your lines. That's the worst part. You see another girl literally singing your part. The part that you can't sing well, she's singing it, like, just in your ear on the left
and
to let you know.
She wants you to know that she's going to come.
Just to let your ass know that she's coming for your place.
And one day is one day. A little tickle
one
in
day
your
you
throat.
Might be sick. A little tickle in your throat.
That bitch is going to come in
she's
and take
done.
Your role.
Yeah. So that's theater.
Horrible people.
But it's sustainable. You know what I mean? There's always a theater play that needs to be put on versus having your own material that you have to release. Oh, release a single now. What single? You know, you don't, like you said, you don't know what's going to be a hit. So that's why people don't.
Did you want to do this when you were a kid?
No, I wanted to be a ballerina.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Ballerina?
Like, everything started growing and...
You mean your body isn't built for ballet?
Yeah, I hadn't started becoming Shekinah, so the dreams were still young, and I danced every day from grade From grade, basically from grade one to...
Did you wear those little shoes
everything.
That squeeze your toes?
I was that girl that the teacher was like, you know what, she's bigger than all of you, but she works harder than all of you. You know, I was very passionate about ballet, but...
I've heard that those ballet dancers, and I'm glad that you stopped doing that shit, I've heard that they develop the most hideous feet. These beautiful petite girls who can dance on a dime.
Big bozo.
But they have big, ugly feet with giant...
Sores.
Calluses. Corns and verrucas and yeah, now that's nasty.
Nasty. Just rubbing up against you in bed.
Girl, you got nasty feet. So you're glad you stopped that.
I'm safe.
But that's a discipline. Those people, it's almost like slave driving, you know?
Yeah, terrible.
Dance, monkey, dance, you know, sort of smacking them and
low-key lazy, so it wasn't going to work out for me anyway.
But you have this very chilled approach to life. Do you occasionally partake in what Kyle Deutsch likes to do?
Yeah, 24/7. I'm laughing because Kyle doesn't do it 24/7. He like just you know.
He behaves like
and
he
you,
does.
And you, I think you caught him.
Yeah, we had him on a morning where he was.
That morning was interesting.
Was it really? I'm absolutely ripped.
That was fun. It was fun for us, but I don't think he knew whether he was a teapot or a hockey stick.
Oh no!
Day.
You see what I'm saying? For him, it's like he it's a new thing, like. He's just all of a sudden been dropped into this world where that marijuana is a thing. And
You know what the good thing is about that?
He's coming from Westville. I'm coming from Queensborough. Where, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You grow up like 7 years old and you're like...
Queensborough. Okay, so Queensborough, there are a lot of...
You know Queensborough?
Well, yes. I know some girls from Queensborough. A lot of them are very loose.
Yeah. Welcome to Queensborough.
Queensborough, the Bluff, and Toti. Yes. Very,
you
very
know.
Loose.
Rap
from the Bluff. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
So was there ever temptation for you to be a total slut like the girls of
Queensborough? Yes. I'm so honest. Like, Durban was bad for me. 14, 15. That's why I'm so relaxed now, and I can be indoors, and I can say, you know what, Kong, not today, I swear.
Right.
Because... 14 years old, 15 years old, I was doing the most.
Yes.
I was doing the most, man. I was doing Florida Road, great times. And we're way too young to do that, you know? Like, so now I find myself like.
Do you think that you did a lot of that too because you've got an older sister?
No, my older sister is actually like, she's a nerd. So.
Oh, really? But she was a bully at
school. She's a bully, but she's a nerd, yeah.
Wow, what an awful combination.
Right? So she was smart as well, and she didn't go out. She didn't do what I did.
So who were your friends who were...
Your
you have some rough friends?
Worst blessing.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Worst influence.
Yes.
We lived together. When I moved to Joburg, we had to separate. Yeah, I had a lot of girlfriends that we just decided, like, drinking Black Labels was dope. Wow, I was wild. And I feel bad for my dad because I didn't realize how wild I was until I grew up and thought about all the things that I did, you know? Yeah.
Shame heat that poor man.
Sure. But I'm
That's
slowly
what they sign up for, though, as parents.
Yeah, I make him proud. At least he knows I'm a hard worker.
Do you care about these awards? Because you've won a bunch of awards already.
Just one. And
No, you got the MTV Africa Music Award for Back to the Beach.
Yeah, that's the dopest one.
Do you put it somewhere?
You know, it's actually holding up another frame in my house.
Ah.
I know. It's holding up something.
So you don't even get to see it. You see
that's what somebody said to me last week.
Shocking.
I know.
So it's not important to you to display this to everyone?
No.
Do you want to have many more awards?
Yeah, definitely. It's difficult, yeah.
There's a lot of people who've won awards, they pretend they don't really care about this.
No, that's a lie. Yeah.
And they put them in a cardboard box in the garage.
I think only when you have, like, when you've accumulated a couple, then you start acting like, because when you don't win, you act like it's not a big deal because you've won prior, you know.
Yeah, I heard, you brought up David Letterman earlier, Sia. I heard David Letterman has given about 40 of his Emmys because he's got so many. He's given them to some museum.
Oh, my goodness.
Because he doesn't have space for them in his house. How's that?
That's beautiful. What?
Those are nice life problems.
Yeah. That's
nice
beautiful.
Life problems.
All right, so you mentioned Sony just now, but what's Ultra?
Ultra, so Let You Know got an international deal. So Sketchy Bongo got signed internationally to Ultra New York.
Oh, that's major.
Yeah, super huge. And they'd only sign him if they could sign Let You Know. So, yeah, Let You Know was the first single that Ultra wanted to release.
And they didn't come around the back and say, hey, we want you as well?
No interest in the Queen, just the song.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they'll rue the day.
Yeah, I know they
will. It'll cost them in the long run. Okay, so let's talk about some of the other stuff. You have released this album.
Not yet.
It's coming in September.
Yeah, boy.
Okay. And you can't tell us the title.
No.
How many songs on it?
12.
Nice.
Yeah, 12.
Are you going to ever go into a genre that we wouldn't expect? Like you'd suddenly start making, let's say you did an Afrikaans song, or let's say you did, because there's money in that.
Yeah.
Or you did one in Sizulu.
Yeah.
Or you did something like a little bit more Maskandi or something.
Yeah, I would love to. I'd love to. This is my time now. Now that this album's done, I literally want to try. I actually want to try sing some Vanak stuff. Not that it will work out, but like, I mean, I just want to try, you know, and have fun in studio and try with the few Zulu words that I know. I want to try to put together a song because it's my strength. So I want to see if I can do it, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. People might love that.
People might like it.
And going overseas?
Going overseas is definitely in the cards. But, you know, I'm not going to go there until my presence is requested. I know it seems a bit like...
No, you're not going to go and sell yourself.
Yeah, I'm not... Yeah, I don't have... Okay, I don't have... I'm not that passionate to be at the top, honestly. But I know that it's good enough, so I know that they'll come to me eventually. I know that I'll be signed maybe next year as a writer to a big label, you know. I know that that's in my future.
Wow.
So I'm not gonna stress about it.
That would be amazing.
Yeah,
it's almost better than being
a
star, because then
you get to work with everyone and
there's less pressure.
Yep. Yeah. So I want to be a songwriter. I want to write the best songs. So I really think that by next year, hopefully I'll be leaning that way, you know. But I mean, I love performing, and that's cool too.
Well, I love it, and well done to you. I'm very happy to see you again.
Thank
you for
having
me. It's good
to catch up. Yeah, yeah.
And behave yourself.
I will definitely promise you.
So you got a great career ahead of you.
Promise
Don't go and ruin it like Sia.
I won't.
Things just got so personal.
You two didn't know each other in Durban?
No, didn't.
Actually, like a 6 degrees of separation, the blessing that she kept on referencing, is a mutual friend.
Yeah.
So it's like, everyone in Durban
somehow knows each other.
Yeah.
Literally.
Well,
weird.
I was just in Nelspruit this weekend, and the same thing, the same thing there. No, really. No, because everybody knows everybody. In these towns, and Durban is not a small town.
No, it's not.
But somehow everybody knows everybody.
You probably, like, did you go potting in Bonkers?
Bonkers. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Those bubblegum shots. And we all have the same fake ID.
There we go.
Yes. And then we all getting in, but they first turn you away, and then eventually they're like, just come inside. Then you get in, and Bonkers is like the most amazing thing you've experienced in your
like
whole
16
life.
And you're 16, and you think this
taking
is
bubblegum shots,
yes,
taking a taxi home. Yeah.
No hangovers the morning after.
What has happened to our youth?
Yeah.
That's what happens in Durban.
All right, Shekinah. Thank you, honey.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Congratulations on everything you've achieved so far. I hope there's even more success and power in your future. And we'll be watching. And you come and visit us again.
I will. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye, y'all.
Here's what you need to know. Grace Mugabe is safely at home in Zimbabwe after playing her get-out-of-jail-free card. She picked up $200,000 when she passed the start point in Harare and is now looking to buy some more property and build big houses where her sons can continue to lure young models to.
Oh.
It has been revealed that 1 in 3 vegetarians eat meat when they are drunk. Further to that, 2 out of 3 vegetarians are liars. We have a big week ahead in sport with Mayweather and McGregor fighting to dominate this week. And, of course, everybody will be talking about that. But the South African public still wants to know who the Teletubby dressed in bright green was that appeared on the field prior to Saturday's Springbok test. Did you see her?
No.
Oh, wow. Some say it was Leon Schuster trying a new character for his movie Oh Shucks, I've Run Out of Ideas, So I'm Just Going to Dress Up as a Black Woman Again. Nobody knows for sure. All right, everybody, have a good day. We will see you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.